The recent holidays provided the opportunity for the following setting to take place in homes where the big holiday meal was provided. Adults and kids gathered in large numbers at the host house. The diversity, but in spite of that, there was still the need for the kids' table to be set up so that there'd be enough room for all the guests. But something happened in some of these homes this past year in the holidays when all this was set up. As the children arrived, the cousins and the grandkids, some of them realized with great joy that this was the year that they would be promoted to the adult table. They would be moved. They would be welcomed to the adult table, no longer bound by the constraints of the kids' table. It was an incredible moment. They had finally grown up. They were finally mature enough to move. Spiritually speaking, I would say that many of us, we want to grow spiritually. We want to continue to mature and grow in our faith. We do. We would say that we desire to do that. But the question is, do we find ourselves pursuing spiritual maturity, or are we content sitting at the kids' table? Do we find ourselves pursuing spiritual maturity? And there are lots of different ways to approach and discuss spiritual maturity. And I want to start off with a specific statement about spiritual maturity that we will explore in our text today in the book of Hebrews. Here's the statement. Spiritual maturity is an ongoing process that includes being open to learning and living out deeper truth found in God's word. Once more, spiritual maturity is an ongoing process that includes being open to learning and living out deeper truth found in God's word. And our text in Hebrews chapter 5 this morning addresses this topic of spiritual maturity, but in fact, it talks about it from the angle of immaturity. And as we go through our verses together, we're going to look at two categories of spiritual maturity indicators. Two categories of these indicators as we look at ways that we can evaluate our own lives as it relates to pursuing spiritual maturity, and also look for ways that we can be pressing on in that. So if you're not already there, I encourage you to find Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to pick up in verse number 11. If you don't have a Bible with you, grab a pew Bible. If you have your own text of God's word, open that up. Hebrews chapter 5. As we start in verse 11, we will notice the first category of indicators, and I call them the spiritual stagnation indicators. The spiritual stagnation indicators. And that word stagnation means unproductive, a lack of progress. And these stagnation indicators are promoting inactivity as it relates to our spiritual maturity. In other words, these spiritual stagnation indicators are actions and attitudes that you and I should be avoiding as we're looking to grow more spiritually, grow up spiritually in our walk with God. And these stagnation indicators start in verse number 11. And as we look at these stagnation indicators, I really would love for you to make this personal and just ask yourself, not out loud, just your own self. You're reflecting on your own self, not somebody else. Am I growing up? Am I maturing as it relates to my journey of spiritual growth? And maybe you're like, yes, I am. Well, good for you. But maybe there's some things that we're not doing or doing that we could do even better, or things that we need to stop doing. So in verse 11, it says this, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand." Spiritual stagnation indicator number one, they were going through the motions when it comes to listening to God's word. They were going through the motions when it comes to listening to God's word. And as you look at that verse in your Bibles about we have much to say about this, and then it goes on to describe them, You may be a little bit confused, or I need a little bit more context. So let's share this with you because it's really important. This verse starts off with, we had much to say about this. But what is the this? Well, previously in chapter 5, the author of Hebrews introduced the concept of Jesus being our high priest from the order of Melchizedek. And I'm almost positive that between last week and this week, you have not heard the name Melchizedek or spoken it. Or got into some deep conversation at the water cooler about Melchizedek. But previously, the author in the beginning part of chapter 5 introduces this concept of Melchizedek. And last week, Pastor Nick gave us some great background information concerning Melchizedek as a type of Jesus. And here's what the author is saying. I have so much more to say. He's saying, listen, we just got started. We're just getting started with this idea of Melchizedek and the topic. We're going to talk about it more, especially in chapter 7. But notice that he has some concerns about this heavy topic. He's not too sure. Why? Because it's hard to make it clear to you. In other words, he's saying, we are going deep here. And he's saying it's not about what is being taught that's the problem. It's about the attitude of the audience. He is not saying, you folks, we're going to start talking more about Melchizedek, but you're just not going to get it. You can't handle it. It's too high for you. It's too high on the shelf for you. He's not saying that. He's saying, listen, I want to give you more. I want to give you deeper stuff, but I'm not sure you really want me to. It's not clear that you really want me to do this. What's the attitude as you look at verse 11? He says, you no longer try to understand. I'm just reading that and going, that's calling them out, isn't it? I wanted to tell you more. I wanted to go deeper. But you no longer want to understand or try to understand. Like, what does this mean here? Well, in the ESV, it states their condition in this way. They were dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. In other words, they were lazy, sluggish listeners. One commentary put it this way. We understand that their problem was an acquired condition characterized by an inability to listen to spiritual truth. They were not, listen to this please, they were not intellectually deficient, but they had become spiritually lazy. They listened with the attentiveness of a slug. They had become unreceptive and closed. So they were going through the motions when it came to listening to God's word. He wanted to go deeper with them, but they no longer were trying to understand. And you say, wow, those people, what are they doing? Well, do I think that we do this sometimes? Spiritually stagnant in this way that we no longer try to understand? I think we do. And let me give you some examples how I think this sometimes can happen. There are many of you listening right now, many of you that are watching, that you've been a Christian for a long time. I mean, decades. Long time. And you've heard a lot of sermons. A lot of sermons. And you've heard a lot of the Bible stories over and over again. You've been to lots of Sunday school classes, and perhaps you had the opportunity to go to maybe private Christian education or all different. So you've had a lot of stuff poured into you from the Bible over the years. You really have had lots of this stuff. And you're pretty content in your spiritual knowledge. You think you could pretty well pass the 101 Bible exam. You know, if you put down Jesus, God, Holy Spirit every once in a while, you think, I think I'd do pretty well. You think you could pass it. But when it comes to expending energy to process deeper truth, you're like, no, thanks. No, thanks. I'll come here on a Sunday. I'll listen. I'll read, you know, maybe at a surface level. But you're like, I'm not sure I want to go any deeper. Now, I'm not saying that as an indictment. But yes, I am, for me and for maybe for us, that part of an indicator that we're not really pushing the way we need to is that we're just going through the motions. When you show up here on a Sunday morning or perhaps worshiping in another place or going to a Sunday school class, are you just like in like the zone of nothingness? Now you're like, I don't know. I got to tell you, sometimes when I look out, I'm not sure. I'm just saying. Now, some of you, I can tell if you're napping. There's a different sign on that on your face. But you know what I'm saying? It's hard, isn't it? You come week after week after week, but are you looking to digest and go deeper, even in your own thinking? When the word is presented, and maybe it's even a story that you've heard before, are you still willing to process this and go, God, what do you want me to learn here? What are you looking to show me? Or you just go through the motions, get done, check it off in your mind. I was at church. I even filled out the sermon guide. So he's calling them out. I wanted to tell you more, but you didn't want to understand. Second spiritual stagnation indicators in verse 12. He goes on to say, in fact, to his readers, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Here it is, the second one. The seasoned believers that he was writing to settled for relearning the basic truths of God's word instead of training new believers. The key word in my statement here is seasoned. The author has a pretty strong rebuke here as well for those who have been saved for a while. What does he say to them? By this time, you ought to be what? Teachers. He is not identifying specifically that they should be pastors. What he's saying is there are many of you that he was writing to, and there are many of you that are hearing right now who have been believers for quite a while, and you ought to be investing in the lives of those who are newly saved or new believers. You have much to teach them. You have much to offer them. You should be willing to disciple them. Like, not going to do it. Well, it's time to grow up and maybe give that some thought, because they're looking for us to do that, for that opportunity. They settle. It says, by this time you ought to be teachers. He's saying to them, you should be far enough along in your spiritual journey that you're willing to disciple other people. And I look out here as I'm saying this stuff, and some of you, you're like, I don't, no, it's just not happening. Okay, this is where I just let the Holy Spirit do his stuff, okay? But it's true. If we've been saved for quite a while, maybe we need to be growing, because he says they ought to be teachers. And it says, but instead, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths. What is he saying here? They had learned the ABCs of the spiritual journey. They knew the basic Bible stories. They knew the basic doctrines. They knew the kind of the basic new believer truths. They knew those things, and those things were fine. And I would say there's nothing wrong. Please don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with reviewing the Bible stories and the basic truths and the basic doctrines. We should do that. There's nothing wrong with reviewing those things. But at some point in our journey, we should be pushing ourselves to move on to some more deeper, even complex biblical truth, with the goal of maybe discipling somebody or taking the truths that we learned, the basic truths, and instead of saying, give them to me over and over again, I'm going to take what I've learned and share it with somebody else. Do you realize that often when people come to faith in Christ, the Bible stories that you know backwards and forwards, they have no idea what they are. So instead of us maybe going back to David and Goliath again and again because we love it so much, we know it. Why don't we share it with somebody? Well, I don't know. Well, actually, I think you do. And so share it with them. They ought to be teachers. What's a sign, or what are some signs that maybe I'm not progressing in this area? Maybe I'm being spiritually stagnant when it comes to the ABCs of biblical truth. Here's might be some signs. I only want the stories. Just tell me the stories again. I just want you to tell me the simple truths again. I don't want to go any deeper. Just tell me the simple stuff over and over again. That might be a sign that you're not willing to make that next step if you've been in this for a while. Or maybe here's another sign. Are you willing, as a seasoned believer to disciple somebody, to share God's truth with them? Are you willing to do that? Third stagnation indicator is in verse 13. He says, anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Thirdly, they were inexperienced in putting the basic truth of God's word into practice. Here's an indication of stagnation as we're trying to pursue maturity. They were inexperienced in putting the basic truth of God's word into practice. And I want to be really clear about this point. This stagnation that he's talking about is not about a lack of information. It's about a lack of application. There's a huge difference. He's not talking that they didn't know enough. He's saying, you know a lot. What are you doing with it? Are you applying it to your life and sharing it with other people? That phrase, is not acquainted, means inexperienced. They weren't practicing this. They struggled to put the basics that they had learned about righteousness into practice, not only in their own lives, but also and kind of transferring this into the lives of other people. They seem to be staying pretty static in their Christian maturity, in their Christian growth. They and us should be more grown up in our spiritual obedience. As seasoned believers, we should be more grown up. Because you and I both know that if you've been in church for a while, and I've referenced this previously, that if I put in front of you a basic Bible test, Bible story test, a lot of you would do wonderful. I hope I would pass as well. I think you really would. But after I left the test room and went into the world that I live in, of family, friends, relationship, job, school, what does that look like? No one really cares that you ace the quiz at your workplace. I mean, really? You're going to bring that in? I got 100 on the Bible test at church. They want to know how you're treating them, how you're living out those things. And so that might be an indication. I'm a little stagnant. Because spiritual maturity is not equal to how many years you've been a Christian. I would love that to be the case. I mean, each decade that you're a Christian, you just automatically become more mature. Love it if it worked that way, but it doesn't, does it? We have to work at it. So these three spiritual stagnation indicators in these verses, I think are sobering obstacles that you and I need to give some reflection to and some pushback against and evaluate our own lives. But I love the text here because it doesn't just identify the spiritual stagnation indicators. There's one other category which kind of tells us where to move towards, and that's called the spiritual growth indicators. The two that I'm going to mention, these are two things found in this verse that if you and I are doing these things, I'm confident that you're heading in the right direction as far as spiritual maturity. You're going in the right direction. So look at verse 14. We'll read this and then identify these two spiritual growth indicators. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Number one, spiritual growth indicator, a willingness to dig deeper into God's word. A willingness to dig deeper into God's word. Notice the beginning of the verse. What is an identifying part or description of a mature person spiritually? Solid food. It's talking about deeper spiritual truths, or at least a willingness to introduce those things into our spiritual journey. A sign that you and I are growing spiritually is a willingness to try solid food. We should not stay infant Christians, always seeking milk. We should go for more solid food. It would be very awkward and abnormal if you had maybe some relatives come over, and that's not awkward and abnormal, sorry. So you got to connect those together. Let's say you had some relatives over, and your 12-year-old grandson or nephew comes over and sits at the table, and you're like ready for the meal, and all of a sudden they just pull out a couple jars of baby food. You know, like he looks, there's only like, there's no issue here with like, he's like 6'2". What's the deal? Well, he just loves himself some baby food. That's all he eats. How old is he gone? He's 12. Now, depending on who you are, you might be like, no, we got some pot roast here. We're not doing the baby food thing, really. Wouldn't that be unusual, strange? And by the way, I've done some youth pastor stuff where we had kids eat baby food as teenagers. That stuff's gross. The babies, they love it, but like, oof. No, give me a burger, okay? I don't care how you smash up those peas and everything. That was nasty. Sorry. And the babies don't know that I'm saying this, so don't be like, oh, great. No. Are you willing to introduce some deeper truth into your life? That's a spiritual growth indicator. Somebody sent me a little Instagram video yesterday because they know about my love of broccoli. And they knew nothing about the message today. But in this video was a little kid, a baby in a high chair, and there's a big clump of broccoli in front of her. And she simply touches the broccoli. She's not eating it. She simply touches it and starts to gag. Then she takes her hands off, and then she touches it again and goes. That was great. I have consumed broccoli in my life. I understand. But you know what? Some of us, it's not that we're opposed to the Bible, but sometimes when we're challenged to just dig a little bit deeper, we're like, ooh, can't do it. Give me the milk. No, you can do it. Are you willing to do this? How willing are you to dig deeper into God's word? The second indicator of spiritual growth in this verse is consistent interaction with God's word with the goal of spiritual discernment. The verse says, who by constant use have trained themselves. That word trained in this verse is the Greek word that we use for the English word gymnasium. The idea of discipline or exercise. It's describing a setting where habits are being formed. The writer is saying this person is disciplining themselves on a regular basis to pursue spiritual maturity by looking into deeper things. It doesn't just happen. They're pursuing it. If you say, Pastor Jay, I want to do this, and then you just walk out and this, you just make the statement, it's not going to happen. It requires us to be constantly doing this, going for this. And the verse also says there's a specific purpose for doing this. There's a specific purpose for this consistent interaction. It says to distinguish good from evil. Again, very important to understand. This spiritual growth indicator of consistently interacting with God's word is not about getting smarter. It's not about learning just more Bible facts. It's about developing spiritual discernment. What is this saying here? It's really two things in my mind. The person is saying, I'm going to work out with the harder things so A, I can tell good truth from bad truth. Because there's a lot of bad truth out there if you haven't heard or seen it. So this allows me to know the difference and also allows me the opportunity to teach more confidently and disciple more confidently people that God brings into my life. So I'm not teaching them the wrong thing. Because they're like, I would love to disciple, but just I don't want to send them down the wrong path. Well, go to the gym then. Get yourself worked out on the deeper things. Get yourself settled to go and go for it. Because that's the goal of doing it. It's not about just being smarter. We should be doing this on a regular basis. So our text this morning talked about spiritual stagnation indicators, some things we should be avoiding. And then two spiritual growth indicators, things that are kind of things we should be pursuing, the kind of the red light, or not red light, green light things to go and pursue. So you have these things together, and as you think about things, these indicators, I really want you to take some time, if you would, on your own or in your community groups to think about them for your own life first. It's always good to do that first before you start pointing them out in somebody else. But I also want to leave you with just two take-home truths as it relates to this, and then we're going to move into communion together. So it relates to these indicators, these categories, here's two take-home truths. Number one, we should develop the skill of being a self-feeder. I see this come from the text. Develop the skill of being a self-feeder. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the idea that you are developing the skill of feeding yourself from the Word of God. And I want to say this right at the beginning. Self-feeding, as I'm describing it, in no way undermines the importance of gathering together as a church, body of Christ, listening to the Word of God. I'm not saying this isn't important. It absolutely is. Going to Sunday school and those kind of things, those are things that are really important. And I know that the Bible clearly says that pastors are called to feed the flock. And I take that responsibility, we take that responsibility very seriously. But I also want you to know, Nick is not the only person who's supposed to provide spiritual nourishment for you. Because if this is the only meal you're getting during the week, you're going to be hungry. We're part of the process. The church is part of the process. But we need to develop the skill of being a self-feeder. Sunday school classes, online sermons, podcasts, those are all helpful resources. But we should be honing our own personal Bible study skills on our own. You can't miss it from this text. Learning to be self-feeders. If I can connect it to the analogy of food, let's challenge ourselves to be ready to prepare our own food, cut it up on our own. Right? Isn't that one of the indicators whether you can go to the adult table? And use your own utensils. Feed yourself. That's not the only thing, but, right? Do that. Second thing, introduce deeper spiritual truth into your spiritual diet. This is not a New Year's resolution for the church. It's not. It just happens to be the next text in Hebrews, which I love that you just go right to the next verses. Let's go deeper. Go deeper in 2025. Maybe it's time to move out of the shallow end of the pool. And let's go deeper. There's a quote from a movie that someone says, I want the truth. And then the response is, you can't handle the truth. And some of you are thinking, Pastor G, I'd really love to go deeper, but I don't think I can handle the truth. I'm here to tell you, you can. You can handle the truth. You can go deeper. It's time to dig in. You say, I'm willing. Do you have some suggestions? Oh, thank you for asking. Oh, you don't need to put your sheet away. You might want to write down some of these suggestions. I have some suggestions for you to go deeper. Here we go. Individually. In your own individual quiet time, read slower. Read less and dig deeper. Now, I'm not against Bible plans and reading large quantities of scripture, but maybe you just need to read slower and dig deeper. What do you mean? Read the story and then start asking some questions and maybe writing down some answers. Maybe you invest in a good commentary or you come across a word. Like, I don't know what circumcision is. That's a great word to look up. I'm not telling you what it is. You want to look that up. You're like, do I need to have a big old concordance? No, you probably could just do it on your phone. And it'll give you the biblical definition. If you don't understand a word, don't be like, I'm going to try to do this. And don't take it the wrong way. If you email me about a definition of a word this year, I'm going to send it right back to you and go, no. Pick up your own fork and do it. Right? I'm not cutting your food. That's not in here. But dig deeper. Maybe you want to buy a study Bible. There's a great website that I use often, gotquestions.com or whatever. Got Questions is the website. And you plug in a question, and it just helps you. Like, I want to go deeper. I want to understand what this is. Type it in and look at it. It's trustworthy. Got Questions is the website. So individually, you could do this. I've got more. That's not the only one. Here we go. I got to read my writing here. Here we go. Maybe you're at a point where you want to dig deeper, but you're relatively new in the faith. You're like, what do I do? Well, how about you just make it a goal this year to become more familiar with your Bible? What I mean by that is maybe you're like, Pastor, you say Leviticus, and I have no idea what that even is or where that is. Okay, that's fine. Well, then work on being a little bit more familiar with your Bible. I don't know a lot of the Bible stories. Maybe you're new to the faith. Well, you can find them in your Bible, or you could buy a book or go online and go, what are the top 10 stories in the Bible? And just start reading them. Is that going deeper? It is going deeper than I don't know the stories. So you can do that. Again, maybe you're kind of have a baseline, but you're looking to go a little bit deeper. Here's a book that I would recommend for you if you want to get into some theology, and that's good. It's called You Are a Theologian. It's very basic, but it has questions at the end. You could do that individually. You Are a Theologian is the name of the book, because, by the way, if you're a follower of Christ, you are a theologian. Oh, I am not. Yes, you are. Because theology is just words about God, and you all have words about God. It's just whether they're right or not. So dig deeper. You could listen to a theology podcast called Theology Matters, hosted by Pastor Nick and Pastor Jay. We have several episodes in the bank. You can look up some other theology podcasts. You're like, oh, Pastor Jay, I've done some of those things. I've read some books and I've rented the podcast. What do I do? Well, maybe this year you're going to read up on church history or church fathers. You're going to go into some of the creeds and you're going to just go a little bit deeper. You're like, what's a creed? Well, dig deeper. Find a good one, though, okay? Right? You know, biblical creeds. But you're like, push yourself. Where do you need to go on this? Those are individual things. Corporately, how do you dig deeper? Maybe it's time for you to join a community group. Not because you're going to make it smarter, but because you want to go deeper. And community groups are designed not to be just, you have to know all the answers. It's designed that you talk about the sermon, and often it goes deeper because people are like, we just need to kind of unpack this. Go deep, go in a community group. This one, corporately. You want to go deeper in 2025? Maybe God has placed on your heart already someone that you should be willing to disciple. Now's the time. You ought to be teachers. Maybe you sense God may be teaching you into moving you into a teaching ministry. Now's the time to go deeper. Because I tell you what, when you stand up in front of somebody or with somebody and teach them God's word, that preparation drives you to a little bit of depth because you're a little bit traumatized. Right? And that's a good thing. Never, ever in my pastoral ministry have I walked up and said, these are all blank. We're just kind of just winging it. It wouldn't be good. You may already think that, but that's not true. There are words on the page. Third thing for corporately to go deeper, because we need to finish here. Starting in February, we're offering a class, 12-week class, on the Apostles' Creed. Limited in size, on purpose. Outside class assignments required. Going deep in the Apostles' Creed. It's going to be taught by Eric Riggleman. So there'll be more information coming about that. But that's, you want to have one? Yeah, yeah. And by the way, and if you're thinking about this and praying about this, this is an all-in class. This is not, I think I can come to 4 out of the 12 classes, then don't sign up. You're going deep, you're going in, and you're going as consistently as possible. So these are just some examples. I didn't want you to leave empty-handed. We started with this. Spiritual maturity is an ongoing process that includes being open to learning and living out deeper truth found in God's word. That's our final, our beginning statement, our final statement here about spiritual maturity. What are some things that you're kind of wrestling with that are stagnating you or me and our growth that we need to get rid of? And what are things that we need to be pursuing? Let's go deeper this year. Let's pray. I'll have the men come as we pray. God, thank you for the challenge of your word this morning. There is so much to be mined from the depths of the riches of your word. And we'll never be at a place where we have gathered it all. But you do challenge us to go deeper in these situations and to go to the point where we are just looking for truth and discussing it and sharing it and applying it at an even deeper level. So I pray that this would be something that our church buys into, that we do individually but also corporately, as we seek to continue to pursue and promote spiritual maturity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.